3, verse 1, and it will be John the Baptist. So please come with me to Matthew chapter 3, and we'll read verse 1 to begin. Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness, saying, and we'll get to his message in a few minutes. Well, in those days, previous chapters, in those days after Jesus was born, after Herod was killing the boy babies in Bethlehem and Mary and Joseph went down into Egypt, they came back when they heard that Herod's son Archelaus was ruling down there in Judea in Bethlehem. They went up north. They went up north in Nazareth. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ was raised as a carpenter's son. No doubt he did a lot of carpentry and hard work himself. So in those days, very general here, John the Baptist was about 30. Jesus was about 30. John the Baptist is a little bit older. All four Gospels tell of John the Baptist. The Luke reports of the beginning of his ministry gives a specific year, 15th year of Tiberius. AD 29 would be a good guess. I'm following a guy named Harold Honer, and I'm a kid compared to Harold Honer, but I met him a few times. He's a generation above. Met him in Dallas. Chronological aspects of the life of Christ. Very good efforts at giving the dates. So starting the ministry probably late AD 29. John the Baptist proclaiming in the wilderness. John the Baptist acted like Elijah. There are references to that. Jesus will make references that this was like the first coming of Elijah. And Elijah did come later at the Transfiguration, and probably Elijah will be among the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, so Elijah would come, but John the Baptist is like Elijah. There are references to John the Baptist outside of the Bible. We talk about Josephus. Josephus wrote a history book of Israel. He lived until about AD 100, so he's about the time of the apostles, and he is writing a history book, and he mentions that Herod left his wife, and she went back home to her dad. Archelaus was her dad, the wife that he threw away, and he was mentioned in 2 Corinthians that we looked at last time, so he's outside the Bible. Well, when there was this divorce and he sent his first wife away and married the second wife, John the Baptist told him he did wrong. And that John the Baptist was arrested. And it's outside the Bible also. Here is Josephus, quote, John was a good man. And he told the Jews to practice justice, to live in piety, that is to worship God. Herod put him to death. And then it says John taught about baptism. And he also was brought, quote, in chains to Machaerus and put to death in that dungeon. So John the Baptist is outside the Bible. Keep repeating every time somebody is in the Bible, outside the Bible, but there's at least 105 names of people in the Bible that are outside the Bible. And as no less than 105, as many as 125. Well, why are there 20 difference? Well, 105 are in ancient books. 105 are in things found known to be old in the ground. There are 20 more names of Bible people. We don't know where these archaeological artifacts came from. They're probably good. I think it's best to make two categories. 105 known people, including John the Baptist, in books or archaeological artifacts, as high as 120. So he is talking about AD 29, and he gives his message, just a summary in verse 2. Repent, for or because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, there is the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the cross. Gospel in both cases means good news, but John the Baptist did not yet know about the cross. The gospel of the cross, we know, 1 Corinthians 15 says it was the gospel that was first preached unto you, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day. So the gospel of the cross, more complete, not yet known to John, the gospel of the cross was that Jesus would pay for our sins and rise again. John the Baptist is kind of given the gospel of the kingdom. Both are good news, both concern Jesus, but the gospel of the kingdom is the king has come, the king is here. I want to also kind of add that John the Baptist was not yet preaching salvation. He was preaching when he gets here, he will teach us how to be saved. So John the Baptist is telling them to get ready, clean up your life, but that we're not saved by our works. Okay, we're not saved by our works, but clean up your life so that when the king gets here, you welcome him, and he will in their future tell us how to be saved. And of course, we're saved by faith, but they should get their lives in order to welcome the king. And a more limited message now that the king has come later about the cross. He looks kind of funny. We can see how he is dressed here. And let's go ahead and read verse 4 about how he looks. This is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "This is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Well, there's a reference to Isaiah chapter 40. John the Baptist was also referenced in the book of Malachi. So we will make reference to both. Here is make his road straight. I grew up out there in the dairy farm country, and there was not a paved road. In the winter, it was bad. The snow would melt from the blizzards, and the bus could not even get down our road. It would not even try. And you had to walk across a cornfield about a mile and a half to get to the bus. And that was all mud, too. So I kind of thought, what are they doing? But in those days, the roads were muddy and not real good. And they're saying, make it ready. Make it straight so that he is welcome. It's a word picture illustration, of course. Fill in the potholes. Make it straight. Get ready to welcome him. We might think of a presidential limousine coming to town. Gerald Ford was in Grand Rapids when I was a kid, and I got out of work at midnight and couldn't get home. They had all the roads blocked off. Had to wait. Couldn't get home. Went to Ronald Reagan's inauguration. We passed out 200,000 tracts, by the way. So this is kind of like the king is coming. With us, the president is coming. Make way. Welcome him. Prepare for the king. Make his path straight. So John the Baptist is saying, really, repent of all sins. Now, he will tell us how to be saved. We're not saved by fixing all our sins, but repent of all sins so you get ready to welcome Jesus, and Jesus will tell us how to be saved when he gets here. Verse 4, what he looked like. Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair, and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Jesus will say that he is the Elijah who was to come. in this description alone, without Jesus' comments that are coming, it looks like Elijah. In the story of Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 7, the king had sent a messenger to Elijah, and he came back and asked, the king asked, what did he look like? Quote, he was a hairy man with a leather girdle. Quote, king's answer, it is Elijah. So probably Nazarite vows, never drink wine, never get a haircut. Long hair, both with Elijah. Long hair with John the Baptist, kind of dressed like this. So the description alone fits Elijah, but Jesus said that he would be, John the Baptist was like the Elijah. Matthew 11:14, and I think there's more than one of them, but if we looked at Matthew 11:14 in the margins, it would give us another one. Malachi 3 also said, God will send a messenger to prepare the way before me. Well, the me who's talking is the Lord. So Jesus who will come is the Lord. Jesus is God, the deity of Christ in Malachi 3:1. But he will send a forerunner. He will send a messenger before me. And he will try to clean up the country. It's like refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Well, a refiner's fire is like smelting gold or silver. Silver is referenced in Malachi. Smelting off the dross. Take the impurities out. And then, of course, a fuller's soap would be a launderer's soap. So Malachi is saying a forerunner is coming before me, and he will tell people to clean up and get ready to welcome the king who is coming. It is my name, so it is God who is coming, but the close of Malachi 4 talks about Elijah coming and Jesus saying this was Elijah's first coming. So when the picture here of what he looked like, the picture is of, say, a type of Elijah, and I think Elijah will come again before the second coming. He did come at the Transfiguration. And probably when it says there will be two witnesses in Revelation, the tribulation, they're often interpreted as Moses and Elijah. But John the Baptist is like Elijah at the first coming, but Elijah will come back, probably one of the two witnesses. Quite a diet. Locusts. I mean, honey's all right. We all get wild honey, but locusts. I see them around here all the time. They look nasty. I don't think I would try one. In doing missionary work in Africa, we're driving a truck and a wagon, and all these kids would junk off to eat termite mouths. I mean, that's worse than locusts. But Leviticus did allow locusts. Leviticus 11:22. These of them you may eat, locusts, crickets, and grasshoppers. John the Baptist could have them. Another parallel with Elijah is not just how he looked, but opposed the king. Elijah opposed Ahab and Jezebel. And there were all these prophets. Remember, the true prophet would pray to God and fire would come out of heaven. Elijah opposed the king, but so did John the Baptist. The king had stolen his brother's wife. John the Baptist opposed it, and therefore John the Baptist would suffer. A preparatory message. Now here are some of the announcements in verses 5 and following. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You baby snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Well, there's such a thing as unbelievers wanting to be baptized. In this case, they were not going to welcome Jesus as king. And he knew it ahead of time. They had no interest in welcoming Jesus as king, so he was not going to baptize them. John's Baptist is different than Christian baptism, but that's why before we do one here, we ask to hear a profession of faith, so that we try to be sure that unbelievers are not baptized, but trust in Jesus first, then are baptized. Here's an example of John the Baptist's baptism, and these people were not going to be saved. Might review Pharisees and Sadducees, as they will come again within the book. Pharisees were business people. Sadducees were priests. Also, Pharisees were conservative. Sadducees were very liberal. The Pharisees' business people were actually made up all these rules that were not even in the Bible. You have to fast 2 days a week. You have to walk only a Sabbath day's journey, which was 0.7 miles. So the Pharisees were business people, conservatives, and made up a bunch of rules that they thought they could earn salvation. Sadducees were very liberal. And it's almost amazing. We think of liberalism as starting in the 1960s. No. No. The people who ran the temple, the Sadducees in Jesus' day, were very, very liberal. Acts 23:8, the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit. So here you have these priests running the temple. Do you believe in life after death? No. Will there be a resurrection? No. Do angels exist? No. Do demons exist? No. But we like these ceremonies. So there's such a thing as a religion without any beliefs at all. It's just kind of hard to think that that was happening back in John the Baptist's day and Jesus' day. But it is true. Some of the priests were saved, like John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias. But a lot of them were not. And here, they're called a bunch of baby snakes. Jesus will use that phraseology later. Now, they said, but we're Abraham's kids. Let's read about that in verses 8 through 10. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 11, as for me, I baptize you with water because of your repentance. For can mean because. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn up chaff with unquenchable fire. Well, there's references to punishment, and there's references to the believers getting the Holy Spirit. They said, we are children of Abraham. Well, in John chapter 8, Jesus told them that you are of your son, the father. Well, our father is Abraham. He said, you are of your son, the devil. So racial descendancy, ethnic descendancy does not give salvation. One must trust in Jesus as Savior. So don't think that they would be saved just because they were Jewish. Jewish has advantages, but have to trust in Jesus as Savior, not just ethnic. No ethnic. It's kind of funny, but around the world, almost every group thinks they're better than everybody else. That's just about the case in all times, and Christians need to watch this. But here, we are Abraham's kids. Unquenchable fire, Greek word is asbestos. It doesn't burn. And there will be more references to punishment. Now, it's not very popular these days, but John the Baptist is teaching that, and Jesus will teach it. So I do think there are levels of punishment in down below. So, you know, maybe there are unbelievers and they're a little better behaving and they get lesser punishment, but still punishment. And then there's more, can be more, particularly those that listened to, like, John the Baptist and didn't do anything about it. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, it hadn't happened yet. That's mainly going to happen at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When we think of the Holy Spirit, He is inside, indwells believers. But we are also like plunged into Him. So He's inside and He's around. He's around. I think that's why in the Middle Ages, a lot of the painters would put little halos on Christians' heads. I think that's their way of saying they're inside of the Holy Spirit. The word, though, is plunged into, baptized into. It will relate to the final part of the chapter, though. Baptism in the Bible is a little more than sprinkling. You know, for centuries, they sprinkled babies. There are no baby baptisms in the Bible. There could be baby dedications. But there are no baby baptisms in the Bible, but the churches have done it out of habit, and they usually sprinkle. Well, we hope a lot of them do trust in Jesus as they get older, because that's what makes a person forgiven and makes them saved. But baptizing is actually dipping, and that's what's going to happen here as we close, verse 13 and following. And Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming up to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted it. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him as a dove, and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, again, you have baptism is dipping. He came up out of the water. More important here, though, is here is the Trinity. Here's a reference to the Trinity. We don't often use this word order. We have Spirit, and then Father talking, then Son, so it's a little bit different order. Out of habit, Christians nowadays use the Great Commission order. It doesn't matter, but usually use the Great Commission order. Go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So usually we use the order that's at the end of the book in the Great Commission. But here are all three. One God and three persons. A little bit hard to understand, but they're all one. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all co-equal in ability and attributes. Three different persons, one God. So in the full sense of being God's Son, really in the full sense, only Jesus. John's way of saying this is saying he's the only begotten Son. We who trust in Jesus as Savior are children of God. We are children of God in the sense that we get an inheritance. We get a full blessing. But we're not fully sons of God like Jesus. He is identical. He is fully God the Son. Only begotten, John, Paul's way of saying it is we're like adopted children. We're not exactly like the Father in all these abilities, but we get blessings. We get the inheritance. Well, we got John the Baptist's ministry started, and then Matthew chapter 4, it will switch to Jesus. Jesus has already been approved by God the Father, but Jesus will resist temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Will the musicians please come?